Today on our Tech for Business podcast, we're getting back to the basics with Todd, our COO and CISO, and Nate, our Director of Cybersecurity. So Todd, maybe you can start us off. What are kind of the big things that come to mind when people are going on vacation to think about from a cybersecurity perspective?
Yeah, the first one, well, I'll get into a very specific tip right away, but just generally speaking, I know it's easy to get into the vacation mindset and you want to make sure that you're going and you're having fun. You don't want to worry about the little things in life. And unfortunately, in the world we live in, it is actually a good thing to think about the little things in life. And so as I'm going down this path, one of the things that I would recommend, like right out of the chute, is that if you're going to do anything, especially when you're concerned about your own personal stuff, is I would turn off on your device, go into wireless and turn off the auto connect. So hypothetically, what that looks like is you connected to the Wi-Fi at Starbucks once upon a time, or you could be anywhere, right? And if the Wi-Fi comes up and it looks like it's Starbucks, your device will just automatically connect to it. And that could be anything. I'll use an example. I was at a conference and I had somebody come by and he was trying to convince me, and he was another vendor, but he was trying to convince me to connect to his pineapple. And he's like, just connect. And I was like, I'm not connecting to your device. So then I went out and I looked, I was curious what he had going on. And I found his device was out there and it was called Starbucks. And I was like, I'm so glad I don't have that automatically on. But what that ends up looking like is in any time you could potentially jump on something else. It wouldn't be Starbucks. It could be the hotel name. It could be anything. And people take their devices down to the beach, and you're certainly as vulnerable there as you are anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, definitely. Nate, what are some of the things that come to mind first for you?
I think the biggest thing for me is just remaining vigilant. You know, if you go take a look at stats, there's plenty of research out there that show kind of like when people fall for phishing attacks. And it's, I think the last time I looked at it, it may have changed by now, was typically like Wednesday around lunchtime, right? It's Monday morning, you tend to kind of be aware of the work week, you're prepared for it. Friday, you're usually trying to clean up and whatnot. But Wednesday, you're kind of in the lull of it and just in the grind. And then lunchtime, again, it's usually, either you're on your phone just trying to play catch up throughout the day. But it's usually when you're least aware of the standard grind of the work week. So taking that now to vacation would be great. You're sitting on the beach, you're sitting in the hotel, you're sitting in the airport, whatever it may be. Is you're not really thinking cybersecurity front and foremost, right? And you're on mobile, you know, there's not a corporate device that you're trying to protect. It's just email, right? And so, yeah, let's just put in the phishing link or click on the link or something like that, right? And people can still get access to your corporate email account, even though you're not on a corporate laptop, right? So have to remain vigilant, even when you're on the move. So my best word advice for that is just don't work when you're on vacation over the summer, right? Doesn't always happen. I'm guilty of that as well, but try and actually enjoy your time off.
Mm-hmm. Or support the idea of actually enjoying your time off. I will say if for some reason you are going to do that and, you know, things do happen, you do need access to public Wi-Fi, we'd still recommend you try to stay away from it if at all possible. But if you are doing something like that, you know, going back to the basics, make sure you're using some sort of encryption like a VPN connection to make sure that that data is being encrypted and so it's not easily overheard or nuked, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I liked this advice that Todd gave about kind of prepping for that vacation. What are some really easy wins that you can do? Obviously, like enabling MFA, making sure your passwords are up to date, your software is up to date. What do we do before we even go on vacation to make sure we're not setting ourselves up for failure?
Yeah, I don't want to gloss over what you just said about making sure your software is updated, because it is a big deal. Most people, hopefully, I think a lot of tools do try to update overnight and whatnot. So like my devices tend to try to do that while I'm sleeping and whatnot. And those are good things, but you should also make sure you are up to date. So I don't want to gloss over that thing. One of the things I think is interesting is actually working with my mom on her computer yesterday. And I was explaining why I wanted to have her lock screen on. She's like, well, just one more step I have to deal with. And I was like, I know. but it's a good step. You do need to have your lock screen on. So I don't know who needs to hear that, but if you're today's years old and you don't have your lock screen on, you should go through the process of getting some sort of lock screen in place. Again, most default devices are doing that by default, but if you've disabled yours for any reason, put it back on, put on a pin. Don't make it the last four digits of your social security because that's out on the internet.
I would also say get into the habit of actually locking your screen when you walk away. You know, in a business environment, they tend to auto lock. So oftentimes personal devices do not. So I remember I was sitting down in a restaurant doing some work and looking across the restaurant, there was some lady that had both her phone and her laptop open. She had to go use the restroom or something, but she got up from her table, just walked over, was gone for about 5 minutes. And I could see that both her phone and her laptop were completely unlocked at the time. And it was right in the main walkway of anyone that was coming by. So while they may have not been able to steal the device, right? Maybe the bartender or someone would have noticed, or myself watching it, someone easily could have come up and said, what are they looking at? Who are they, you know, supposedly interacting with? You know, if it was email that was open, I can gather a lot of info just looking at the quick Outlook page, or one of my favorite ones, try not to, you know, call me out as a creeper, but when I'm on a plane and I'm traveling, right, typically on a plane, I'm just going to watch a movie on like my iPad or something. Watching all the individuals on the plane sitting next to me, they're texting their loved ones or, you know, working on corporate PowerPoints. That's one of my favorite ones because I get to see maybe all their shareholder updates that they're working on or, you know, like strategic planning. And I'm like sitting there like trying not to look off to the side, but it's really interesting, you know, like maybe a little bit better than the rom-com that's on the, you know, iPad or something like that. And so those are the ones where, like, if you're going to work on a plane as well, maybe purchase a privacy screen before you leave on vacation, because someone like myself is probably going to be interested in what you're working on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I am just to preface it, I'm an IT / security nerd. And so I'm naturally curious, too. I don't really care what you're doing, but I am curious. I guess the way I'll phrase it is when I'm watching people, I kind of want to see how proficient they are with their computer use. And so I'm kind of normally kind of go, what is it? Oh, you're on Excel. Interesting. Oh, you know what you're doing. Or no, you don't. Right. So I'm curious too. I would tend to agree. There are security privacy screens that you can put on. They're really inexpensive. They're easy to flip onto your laptop really faster, but or not. One other one that as Nate was talking, I thought this was actually probably a good idea too, is if you are traveling, it would be a good idea to give your IT support team the heads up too. So at CIT, we're actually pretty strict in our security. And so if you start to travel to unusual places by default, it's probably going to lock you out. And of course, you're going to get your team is going to be like, whoa, what's going on? Do we need to be worried? Do we need to be concerned, et cetera? And if they know ahead of time, you will have less of a hard time and so will the IT department. So it's both of a win-win there.
This is going to be one more tangent. If you are traveling on vacation and you are consuming alcohol or some other substance of your choice, be cautious with the information you divulge to individuals. One of my favorite hobbies while I'm at a conference, as everyone is celebrating and having fun, is to figure out how much info can I get from them at the time. And I just by having casual conversations.
Yeah.
I will not say the company name, but there is a company name out there that is a large enterprise. And I know all the VPNs you use, your IT staff, all the domain admin name formats you use, the challenges that you have and your security controls, all because one of your employees was busy drinking at a conference. So if you are one of those individuals that like to have a good time on vacation or a conference, if someone starts asking you about your IT controls, probably just go back to enjoying your drink by the pool. Don't have that conversation.
Yeah, just saying I'm on vacation or I'm at a conference. Mm-hmm. I just I'm not work. Don't want to talk about work at the moment.
Yeah. So, Nate, you mentioned being vigilant. And for some people, they're hearing this and they're saying, I'm not bringing my work computer. I don't have work on my phone. Should I really still be that concerned? So even though we have that kind of separation, what are still some security risks they might be facing on vacation or traveling?
Yeah, we can take this just to your personal life.
Yeah.
I usually tell the people there are two accounts that you have that are the most critical accounts to protect. It's going to be your email and your financial institutions, whatever that may look like, anywhere where there's money stored.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why is money's self-explanatory. Your email, if someone gets into your personal email address, number one, they can see all the different places that you've connected to, right? You know, is your let's pick on Wells Fargo or Bank of America, something along those lines. They will send you periodic statements to you saying, your statement's ready. So they know that you're banking at those institutions.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get into your account if they don't know your password? It's usually I forgot my password, send me an email reset. They send it to the email. They can start getting into all of your different applications. So for those two accounts, make sure that you have a strong, unique password. Don't share them between the two. And then multi-factor, wherever possible, make sure those are turned on.
Mm-hmm.
In the grand scheme, if you can do that, you're going to prevent a lot of the impact to your personal life on a given basis, right? If someone compromises your Netflix account or something like that, fine, watch all the movies you want, right? But email and banking is going to be a very, very critical thing. We'll come back to Netflix. I think the other one would be protecting your payments. So while you're on vacation, you're probably going to be stopping by a gas pump or something along those lines, or go into the cashier and there's still the payments. But at a gas pump, these are probably the most guilty of not adopting to modern security standards, is many gas pumps have adopted things like Apple Pay or Google Pay, or they've switched to the actual chip readers.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stop by an older, maybe more rural gas station, they probably still support mag stripes, which even though your card has all the security features built into it to protect it, that mag stripe is inherently insecure. And it's very, very easy to skim your credit card data off of it. Every gas pump I go up to, if I ever have to stick my card in, I always kind of grab onto the reader and give it a jiggle if I can, just to make sure that something isn't actively, like a skimmer has been added onto it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for what it's worth, when he did the Netflix thing was he was talking about making sure your passwords don't match up. The first thing I was going to put on there is also make sure it's not your Netflix password, because there's no reason to have the one that you share with everybody be your banking password.
Yeah.
But we were talking about skimmers a little bit earlier, too. There are some things out there. I am the same as Nate. And again, we're paranoid, so we're probably just naturally going to do this. But I had mentioned, if you've ever gone to like Costco, and I know some other areas do this, where you're pumping gas, is they'll typically have tape over that payment form. So whether it's a tap to pay or your credit card swipe, if you see that tape on there, it's typically there to kind of say this is definitely not some sort of skimming device. It's kind of what the intent of it is to try and imply. And I'm guessing most people probably don't realize that. But even so, I'm still paranoid enough where I'm kind of like bumping it and trying to see that this is all as well. But I agree with Nate. I tap to pay everywhere I can possibly go, because that particular type of method is considerably more secure than the mag strip is. So great tip.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll touch on the why of that as well. So In the mag stripe, your credit card and your credit card info is written on that mag stripe, and it is persistent. So every time you swipe it, it's the same data. When you do a tap to pay or use the chip, what they do is they tokenize that information. And so when you make a transaction, built into the chip or the NFC card on the chip, if it supports tap to pay, it will query the data that's stored securely on that device. And it'll issue a one-time credit card, token to mm-hmm. say, I authorize it for this one purchase. You then cannot use that same token to go make a subsequent purchase at another website like Amazon or, you name it. So it's only good for that one transaction. And so that's why if you ever go to things like, one of my favorite stores is Home Depot. So when I go to Home Depot and I want to say, I've lost my credit card, I don't know how to look it up, they will have you tap to pay your credit card, and then it'll go back through and try and figure out, you know, based off of the tokens that it was provided, what are the transactions that it could find along the way with that? But you cannot just take your normal credit card, even if it's the same account. I can't just stick my credit card in the terminal and have them look it up that way. There's a dedicated Apple Pay, Google Pay receipt lookup that they have to use for that. So, and it's all because of that tokenizing method.
One more thing before I forget, while we're talking about payment methods, banking, et cetera. So I don't know how many people out there need to hear it at this point, but if you don't have some additional form of authentication on your accounts, you should definitely enable it. And if you can do a multi-factor versus an SMS text from your bank, that would be ideal. Not all banks allow you to do that yet, but at a minimum, having some additional factor on there. So even if somehow your password was lost, you still need that additional form of authentication would definitely be one of the tips I make sure that you got. And again, this is specific to personal life. At work, you probably got them. Most organizations at this point are actually doing it, which was fantastic. It only took 8 years. Not that I'm measuring from when we first started screaming it to now, but when you're looking at your personal life, it's just as important as it is at work. And again, this is about you specifically. You don't want your credit cards in the hands of bad people. You don't want your financial information out there, et cetera. Worst thing that can happen to you is somebody getting into your debit card versus something else, which is actually another really good tip too, is I'd recommend using credit cards versus your debit cards just due to the fact that if something happened to your debit card, you are liable. But if the credit card is used, you don't have the same kind of levels of liability when erroneous charges come up. So that'd be a good one as well.
Yeah. Just touching on notifications for your cards, set up a limit notification. So on all my credit cards, I will say if a dollar amount exceeds a certain amount, let's just say it's $100, it'll text me saying a card has been issued.
Right.
I've never had a fraudulent one. It's usually just my spouse purchasing stuff, but I like to be notified when all of our money is being drained from the accounts.
I don't know how, I didn't mean to get so deep into credit cards, and I don't know if this still works as much as it used to. I actually went to a music festival over the weekend, and one of my friends was with me, and he had called his bank ahead of time saying, hey, I just want you to know I'm going to be blah, 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 and I'm going to be making some micro transactions, and there's probably going to be a lot of it. This is an unexpected behavior. This is me. And he went and validated himself. And the response he got back from the bank was, we don't do that anymore. But for some organizations, they may still allow you to do that, which unfortunately for the bank he was using, he ended up trying to buy a beer, went up and got declined, had to call the bank while he's standing in line trying to get a beer, music's blaring in the background. Anyways, where I'm going with it is if you can and your bank allows it, it wouldn't hurt to be able to go into it advanced and saying, we're anticipating going to Mexico. This is expected behavior, et cetera, et cetera. Basically the same comment I had for letting your IT staff know as well.
Yeah. I think you brought up something interesting about, you know, MFA and like calling your bank and doing these things. When we're at work, we have our cybersecurity team or our IT team is telling us to do X, Y, and Z, and they're training us to do X, Y, and Z. And then when we leave work in our personal life, we kind of forget all of that. So we don't have statistics, but what do you think the adoption of cybersecurity basics in your personal life versus your professional life? Do you think it's less? Do you think people are more? Where are they on their cybersecurity journey outside of work?
Well, I'll take the first swing. I think to answer the question, I don't know. Again, I don't have the statistics, just like you said. But I believe from the interactions I've had from speaking engagements and a variety of other things that the adoption in the personal life is significantly less. And I don't know what the root cause is, but some of the things that I think are related to it is when you're at work, most people don't think about it because they don't have to, right? The organization's got it. I don't have to worry about it. They'll tell me the things I need to do. And so it just really isn't all that critical, and people don't really automatically default to, boy, I should be doing the same thing at home. they're not worried about it. I mean, I think this is really what's happening, and I could be mistaken, but that's my main theory on why we see what we do is it just doesn't apply to me because I don't deal with it. So my assumption is it's quite a bit less, and this part of the reason why we're having the conversation today is it implies to you more at home than it does at business for that exact same reason, is nobody's watching out for you at home and in your personal life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with Todd. The amount of individuals that I see using password managers in their personal life, you know, even if the company provides one, is almost non-existent, right? I feel like I see a higher percentage than probably most people, but it's because I'm connected with a lot of security people. So, you know, the talks of, oh, which password manager are you using, might come up in conversation. I've never had that as, you know, outside of my security circle. Multi-factor, we bang multi-factor all day, every day, saying, turn it on. This is something that you should have done about 10 years ago. And organizations have adopted it, right? It's kind of standard practice across organizations. There are many, many, many people that do not have MFA enabled in their personal life, unless the website enforces it. And so I think, to Todd's point, it applies to your personal life more than even the business today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So when we come back, you know, and we're transitioning back into work and, you know, we've done all the traveling, what are some things we should do? You mentioned the Netflix and the passwords and things like that. What are some good steps to take to come back to work?
Yeah, slightly before we get to all the way back.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Nate had one when he said, let's get back to Netflix. So I'll let him take the swing at it.
Yeah, well, we were chatting briefly. Todd said he sets a reminder on his calendar to say, before I leave the Airbnb, make sure I sign out of any connected applications that I signed into. So we were talking about Netflix specifically because when you go to a hotel, the TVs, they typically are on like a program that self-reset at the end of the checkout period. So, but your Airbnb, it'll stay connected to whatever account that the owner has configured. Maybe it's a smart TV. So we see this all the time. I have family that has an Airbnb. So we'll go down there to visit. And sure enough, the last person who rented that Airbnb is still signed into their Netflix, their Disney, their Hulu, their whatever it is. We already have our account, so we just sign them out and sign back into our own personal ones. But sometimes if someone's maybe on a, HBO and there's a good show, it's really tempting just to stay logged in there and keep watching a show that maybe I don't have otherwise. Again, we sign you out and go watch something else. But it is extremely common for people just to get busy into the chaos of getting back home that they forget to go back to the TV. Sign out of the appliances that they signed into. Now, the good thing is if you do forget, you can typically go back into those websites and say, sign out of all connected applications. Or maybe if it's possible, sign out of a particular appliance or TV that you signed into. But at the minimum, just sign out of all of them. It doesn't take you that long to sign back into your trusted TVs or iPads or whatever it may be.
Probably a lesser considered one, but I would still do it. And again, I'm a little more paranoid than most people. I'll put that out there. But I do the same thing with cars that I rent, whether it's Turo or a rent a car, is almost always when I do that, I tend to connect because, you know, Google Maps is a game changer. So I got to have my Android Auto. And when you do that, very first thing you usually do is you connect your Bluetooth as it asks, can I sync all of your contacts and all that? And most people are just like, yeah, whatever. I wouldn't do that by default. They don't, the rental car doesn't need your contacts. It'll be fine. But also when you get to back to wherever you rented it from, people typically tend to be in a hurry. I got to go get my flight. I got to, whatever it is. Take the 30 seconds, disconnect your device. I mean, I get into vehicles a lot of times and the number of devices the vehicle can actually connect to is full. You can't even connect to it until you start deleting them. So I know people forget all the time, but I would recommend It only takes a few seconds to go in and remove your device from that, and it'll be listed, Todd's phone. And you click, delete, gone.
Yeah.
I'm curious how that'll work as cars transition and move towards highly connected infotainment systems. So one of our employees at work, he just got a new electric car. And the first thing it asked is to sign into your Google account so it can pull in all of the info it needs, not just the Bluetooth connection and the contacts. So, but let me pull up all your saved places on the maps, everything like that. So to Todd's point, maybe not just the Bluetooth, but if you signed into like a new electric car with a good infotainment system, maybe you need to go deeper into the settings and do a full account disconnect.
Wow. Yeah, I never thought of that. That is so interesting. What are some things that you should keep in mind when you're still at work? The first thing I think of is there is always that increase in like phishing emails from like the CEO who's on vacation.
Just delete all the emails that come from the CEO.
I do.
That's what I do.
I'll be honest with you. A lot of times I do that, and I probably get a significant more amount of email than the average individual. But
yeah,
I'll use an example that a week ago I was getting emails that was asking for payment methods from someone that I wouldn't anticipate. And I was like, that doesn't seem right. And instead of dealing with it or doing anything, I just deleted it and moved on. And then I got another email and I deleted that one. And then about the fourth time, I was like, all right, let me check in with the person I actually think I should be getting information from. And then validating that it was indeed real and I could go ahead and move forward with it. But yeah. I think the answer to that is be diligent about what you're going through, right? If you're getting unexpected emails, it's an unusual request. I saw a joke the other day that somebody was talking about how they were so glad that the CEO knew who they were when they asked him to go buy a bunch of gift cards. And they're like, yes, they know who I am. This is amazing. If those kinds of things are happening and you wouldn't normally expect it, it wouldn't hurt to just check in and say, is this real? And not responding through email would be my main comment here, is actually making a phone call or checking through the normal methods of what you would typically escalate through to say, does this look correct or not? So ultimately, it's be diligent about what you're doing. And unfortunately, phishing is getting a lot more complicated. The spoofing is very legit and it looks really good. Again, to my point is, I got it. It looked completely legit, but I was like, that's not who I expected from. So I'm just moving on and acting like it didn't happen. And it went fast enough that it wasn't like we missed any payment terms. We weren't outside of our net or anything along those lines. But it was suspicious enough to me that I was just moving on. And it is an easy way to kind of go through that. But again, be diligent. If you're not sure, go check it. So again, something comes up from your bank, they send you an email, don't click the link, go out to Wells Fargo, US Bank, et cetera, et cetera. Type in the real URL, city, log in the way you normally would. I wouldn't follow the links in the email itself.
Yeah.
This is probably going to be a separate podcast because this will be too much of a tangent. But to Todd's point about the CEO knowing who we are, asking for gift cards, I'll just introduce the topic of data brokers. Your data is being collected and sold all the time. Now, threat actors will use that publicly available information to quickly find things out. I had a CEO just ask this it was a CFO about a month ago. How do they get this info? One of my favorite things to do, because I had the same thing when I was doing a cybersecurity training at a nursing home, right, was, well, what's your name, right? And I just typed in, what's your location? I knew where I was doing that training, so I just picked kind of a circle around there and said, there you go. Do you live at this location? Is this your phone number? Is this your father who was marked as deceased? Right. And they said, yep, that's all me. That's really, really scary. Again, data brokers collect all this info and then people use and buy and sell and use that information. There are ways to try and scrub that data. That'll be a whole maybe different podcast in the future.
Yeah,
but when you get a text message from the CEO, and it's usually a brand new employee. Again, if your online presence says you just started at a new organization, they already know who the CEO is, and the info is very, very easily indexable to get your personal cell phone number. And it's usually all automated along the way.
Yeah, and as I say, this is a great topic because I've already got like six things I want to talk about.
Definitely something we will have to dive into the future. What I'm hearing a lot is, At work, we are trained or should be trained on making sure we are doing these basics, and they're incredibly important outside of work as well, no matter the time of year, no matter where you're traveling or what you're doing, making sure that we are hitting all of those basics. Is there anything else you want to cover in today's podcast?
Just to reiterate the things that we think are important is slow down. I know there's a lot going on, whether it's vacation, it's summer, or the kids are got in a lot of activities, whatever the case may be, there's a lot going on there. But just pause just a moment, especially when things don't seem normal. And again, that's the Wednesday at lunch or whatever it may be. So make sure you got good, strong passwords. Use a password manager if you can. Multi-factor authentication. Be careful how you use your transactions for your financial stuff. All good basic stuff, but you definitely should be about it. And then last, and I think hopefully we made this point loud and clear, but at home, your security is just as important as it is at work.
Yeah. I think I'll end with my closing thought of something I tell our team all the time: do as I say, not as I do. Actually take your PTO and don't work while you're off. I'm guilty of that, but the best way to protect yourself is just disconnect, right? We typically say an offline device is the most secure device. Take your time, enjoy your vacation, rejuvenate your mental health. Your business will thank you for a more effective and engaged and happy employee along the way as well.
I love it. That seems like a beautiful place to end. So thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.